Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Allie Ostrander of Soldotna and Scott Patterson of Anchorage were the top finishers in the annual Mount Marathon races in Seward yesterday. In her first race running in the senior category, Ostrander ran the 5K course up and down the 3,000-foot peak in 49 minutes, 19 seconds, the best time by an Alaska woman in race history. Patterson also cruised to victory in the men's race, covering the course in 44:30. Anchorage's Luke Jaeger and Molly Gellert won the shorter junior races. Kendall Kramer of Fairbanks placed third in the junior women's race. The state plans to suspend its largest wolf control program. The Upper Yukon Tanana Area Program, which targets wolves on the 40-mile caribou herd's calving grounds in the eastern interior, will cease after the 2017-2018 season. The 12-year control effort is aimed at increasing caribou numbers for hunters. But Alaska Department of Fish and Game Regional Supervisor Darren Bruning says recent years' field research indicates wolves are not the limiting factor.
Potential signs of nutritional limitations were identified, including decreased caribou birth rates and reduced calf weights.
A Fish and Game study published earlier this year says 40-mile caribou grew from 13,000 in 1990 to over 50,000 at last count, but that the biggest growth was prior to wolf control. Since 2004, over 1,000 40-mile area wolves have been shot from aircraft under a state intensive management program that's cost millions of dollars. Bruning stresses the program's scientific value.
The information gained through the research activities associated with intensive management are the most valuable product of the program.
40-mile area wolf control demonstrates the problem with manipulating a complicated natural system, according to retired wildlife biologist Fran Maurer of Fairbanks. Maurer, a critic of predator control, says the state may find itself working in the opposite direction.
If a herd is reaching carrying capacity, it's imperative to be ready to reduce the number of animals on the land to prevent a precipitous collapse or crash.
Maurer is frustrated that the state hasn't already curtailed the 40-mile area wolf kill. Hunting can be used to thin the herd, but Maurer says it's ironic that the state may also end up relying on wolves to reduce the caribou to a sustainable number.
The concern is that we've already reached or are approaching carrying capacity, and if anything, we may need those wolves to help bring the herd down.
The Alaska Board of Game authorizes predator control based on state recommendations, and Board Chairman Ted Spraker concedes wildlife management is not always a simple equation.
And it also takes time to understand if these trends are a one-year trend or is it just a blip. Or is this population actually moving up or down?
Spraker says environmental factors like climate change further complicate the situation. The state plans research over the next 5 years to look at what happens to 40-mile caribou after wolf control ends. Wolves killed in the state control effort have included animals based in the Yukon Charley Rivers National Preserve.
While predator control took place outside of the preserve, it did have an impact on the population and the makeup of wolf packs within Yukon Charley.
Preserve Superintendent Greg Dudgeon says some of the wolves lost were part of a long-running NPS study, which was halted due to the state wolf kill.
We did lose several years in what had been a 22-year-long data set.
Dudgeon says Yukon Charley resumed its wolf research program this past winter, collaring 7 animals to track. The number of bear attacks recently has elevated public awareness of the dangers surrounding some of the state's largest predators. The heightened awareness comes even as the University of Alaska Museum of the North celebrates the polar bear in art. KUAC's Robert Hannon has more.
The late Grace Scheibel had one of the largest collections of art and craft devoted to the polar bear in the state, if not the world. Before she passed away last month, Scheibel opened her collection to the University of Alaska Museum of the North for an exhibition called Polar Passion. The museum also asked local painter and dean of UAF's College of Liberal Arts, Todd Sherman, if he would paint a landscape with a polar bear in it, where visitors could pose for a selfie. Sherman says he understands the idea because the bear has haunted his imagination for years.
Ever since I've been a kid, and I was born up here in Alaska, ever since I've been a kid, I've had dreams about bears. They're not warm and cuddly to most Alaskans. They are something to be respectful of and sometimes feared.
Sherman has been painting the scene in the museum's lobby when he has time. and he says his venture has drawn questions from visitors and colleagues alike.
Because as Paul Lehrer, the Dean of College of Natural Science and Mathematics, asked me, is a bear going to be on ice? I said, yes. Then he goes, oh, so it's fiction. I think he's referring to global warming and the lack of ice.
Indeed, as Sherman notes, the polar bear has become the poster species for global climate change. And it's that new role, says the museum's mammals collection manager, Aaron Gunderson, that should provoke visitors who come to view images of the charismatic animal.
With their shrinking habitat due to global warming and their listing as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, adds a bit of urgency to our preservation of the species, our understanding of the species.
Gunderson hopes that the museum's combination of art and science will deliver a deeper appreciation of an animal that stalks our collective imagination. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
And I'm Dan Bross.